Today, conversations with kids about coronavirus.
Hi, I'm Joseph. I'm a 7-year-old boy and I live in Lancaster.
Hi, my name is Isabel. I'm 9 years old and I live on the Wirral.
Hi, I'm Michaela and I'm 8 years old. I'm from Hackney, London.
I am 10 years old and I'm from Manchester.
Hi, my name is Cecile Dossi. I'm currently 12 years old and I live in Aylesbury in the southeast.
I'm Talula Clary. I'm from Wallasey and I'm 11.
Hello, I'm Sanjana Parashar and I'm 13 years old.
Since the start of the year, we've been speaking to children and young people across the UK about what they think of this pandemic.
It makes me feel like worried and sad because the amount of people that have died in the amount of period of time.
Coronavirus is a very contagious disease that is to be taken very seriously by everyone.
About how it's affected their families.
My granny and my granddad did have COVID at some point and I was worried about them. They said, it's going to be all right, we'll be fine, we're good, and they're all better now.
Terrifying because all the things on the news was really bad and I was scared in case anything happened to my mum and I would lose her. She has to watch patients come in with COVID.
And what it's been like going into lockdown.
In the first week, it was fine. Then after, it got really, really boring. I didn't understand how boring it will get.
I think that it keeps people away.
Lockdown is, kind of hard for me, not seeing my family, not seeing my friends, not going to school.
While we know COVID-19 has affected families in very different ways, the disruption to childhood, and in particular education, has been universal.
Every single time we go out to break or lunch, we have to gel our hands. We have our own packs of things, so we can't just borrow someone else's rubber or pencil because we can't find ours. We have to find our pencil because we're not allowed to use anyone else's.
I found it a bit odd that I had to study at home, and I thought I was losing my education because we won't have face-to-face talks with teachers.
It's strange because it's rather on a computer instead of a teacher talking.
And what's it been like having mum and dad doing it?
Strange.
So who's better at it, mum or dad?
Mum.
What?
Yes.
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Ethan, can you just close my door, please, 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 please? I really need to record this.
Please.
Just 2 minutes, please. Just close the door.
2 minutes.
Yeah. You know what I think's been quite bad? I think we parents think too much about ourselves when it comes to homeschooling. So today, I really want to hear what it's been like from a child's perspective. Can you start by introducing yourself?
So my name is Arian. I'm 8 years old and I live in Sevenoaks.
And you're in year three at school?
Yep, I'm in year three.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yep, I have a younger brother and he's at nursery.
Wow, what's he like? Are you friends or is he a bit annoying?
Sometimes, but he's usually really fun.
What do you like to play together?
I don't know. It's just nice to have him around.
That's
especially
nice.
When I have breaks in school, it's really nice to actually have somebody to interact with.
Are you missing your friends?
Yeah. I've moved school, so I can't make new friends in my new school. And now I can't even play with my old friends.
Gosh, that's really difficult, isn't it? Have you moved this school year?
Yes.
Can you remember the first time your parents started talking about coronavirus?
Yep. I had a magazine called The Week magazine. I jumped onto my bed to read it. And then my parents said, there's a virus started in Wuhan in China.
Yeah? In Wuhan?
Yeah, Wuhan.
And what did you think of that? Did you know what a virus was?
Yes. I didn't seem too worried. But then after it started spreading to all the other countries, it started to get a bit worrying. And in my school, there were loads of rumours about bad stuff that it does, even though it just gives you a cough and fever.
If you're little, but are you worried about people who are older?
Yeah, especially my grandparents.
And do you know when there were all those rumours at school, what sort of rumours were there?
Like, they stop your muscles moving, they make you have big warts.
They make you have big warts?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
And do you remember the first lockdown? What was that like for you?
First, I thought it was going to be really exciting and it would be like a holiday. But then when it actually started, it wasn't good at all. Because my parents are usually in meetings and I was just there all by myself. They're just on the screen the whole time. The first part, I was with my brother, but then I wasn't because he started going to nursery again.
And do you do some homeschooling with them?
Yeah. There are loads of sheets to print off.
Yeah.
And now I've just got a big, big, big pile of sheets and half of them I haven't finished yet.
It feels a lot, doesn't it? I feel sometimes when I look at the sheets my little ones have to do, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's hard. And what's your mummy and daddy like as a teacher compared to your teachers?
My mum usually teaches me all of the maths and the English and all those other subjects. But my dad, he teaches me music. I have, in the whole house, we have 4 guitars, 1 piano and a drum.
Tell me about going back to school in September. How did that feel?
Oh, yeah. And before I had the first day at school, I couldn't even believe I was going to school. I was just so excited.
What were you looking forward to?
I haven't been to school like in 5 months or something like that. And then also I was going to a new school and I was really excited to see new people. And also I used to be the fastest in my old class and I loved having races with people. But eventually in my old school, people stopped having races with me because I always won. And now in my new school, I have a new friend who is the exact same speed as me.
So you can have fun.
And it's really fun to have races with it.
So you had a great term last term, did you?
Yeah.
How did you feel when you realised schools were going to close again?
I felt like this is going to be so boring because then I knew how it was going to be, but before I thought it'd be like a holiday. Well, it's like the opposite of a holiday.
Yeah. What do you do to try and stop yourself getting bored?
I do lots and lots of Lego. Right now, the whole floor is covered in Lego. And I also go outside in the garden and I play football. Well, I just play football by myself.
How has coronavirus changed your life?
Well, now, when I think about what happened in the past, like, it seems like it was like so many years ago. We were allowed to shake hands, we were allowed to have playdates, we liked to actually go to school.
What is it like watching people wearing masks?
It seems normal now. Like, you see a person wearing a mask and it's like, yeah, they're just wearing a mask. Like, what is, like, there's no big deal. But then if it was before any of this, or there's any idea of this, it was like, why are they wearing that mask on their face? Like, I thought only doctors wear it in surgeries or something.
In terms of you and all your friends, how do you think this has affected you as children?
Well, it's made us, it means we're all going to be definitely all going to be better at technology when we grow up.
Definitely.
And we might be used to, like, staying at home. Like, if anybody else is born, they'll be like, how can you just stay at home for long without getting outside? Well, you can just, like, stay inside for longer.
Can you describe what it feels like being lonely? You might not be able to, but if you can.
It's like when there's, like, there are people around, but there's nobody which you can do something with. So you're just Well, you're not always bored when you're lonely. You might be reading a book, but there's nobody with you, so it's really odd feeling.
How do you think coronavirus has changed the world?
It's good as well as bad, but everybody seems to be more careful about what they're doing, about washing hands, about everybody's become more hygienic.
Do you remember at the beginning they said to sing happy birthday twice?
Yep.
Do you still do that?
I do it in my head. But in school it became a big thing. Whenever you entered the toilet, you'd hear happy birthday.
You'd hear it being sung in school. I love that. You're doing music, you're playing football, and you're having fun with your brother.
Yeah.
But you can't wait to see your friends.
Yeah, can't wait.
My name's Becca. I am 14. I live in the East End of Glasgow. I live with my mum and my three brothers and my cat. Interesting fact, I'm a Gemini.
What does that mean about you?
Apparently I'm very, very bubbly because of that.
Do you know the star signs well?
Except from Geminis, not really. Because all me and my friends are Geminis, so... Well, all my best friends are Geminis.
Do you remember the first time you ever heard about coronavirus?
Actually, yeah, I remember it was a meme going around school and stuff. Like, people were making a joke out of it, obviously, because it hadn't hit us yet. And we were all thinking, oh, it's not going to reach us. It's that's what teachers were telling us as well. And we thought they were right, but obviously they weren't.
And tell me about your mum. What was she doing for work at that time?
She was working for a firm, I think it was.
An insurance broker,
and she was she had an admin job there, but she was laid off because COVID.
Tell me what happened.
So because my mum was temporary, she wasn't entitled to furlough, which meant they couldn't keep her on after during lockdown.
And what did that mean for you guys? How did it feel?
Well, it just meant they'd be a little bit harder for. Obviously getting stuff, but we found a way.
How did you feel going into lockdown?
Kind of sucked, honestly, because we didn't know how long it was going to be for or how bad it was going to get, so it kind of sucked. I kind of became a bit more lonely, just like most people, but obviously I love my brothers and all, but being around them constantly kind of gets boring, and I just really missed my friends.
Was there much homeschooling?
We did get sent work from school, but the first lockdown, I kind of struggled to keep up with it. So as much as I hate to admit, but I kind of just stopped trying with some of my subjects because I was like, I don't want to do this. So that was great.
And tell me about exams being cancelled. Have they been cancelled this year?
Yes, I'm not that sad, but I'm kind of sad because prelims are also cancelled. And this year in biology, I was meant to have a prelim to decide if I was doing Nat 4 or 5. So I was kind of excited about that to see if I'd get into Nat 5.
And so what will happen? Will you get teachers' marks instead?
Yeah, they're just going to base it off our work.
What impact has being out of school had on your friends?
I think it's mostly just their mental health and stuff, including mine as well, because obviously we all kind of miss our social life, so that's why we were all so excited to go back to school, because, oh my God, some kind of social life, yes, please, bring me back. So, yeah.
And you mentioned mental health. What sort of things do you think people are feeling?
That's just kind of sad, or if they already had existing mental health problems, then they probably got worse. I know a lot of my friends have anxiety, and I know that got worse a lot over lockdown.
Really? That's worrying, isn't it? One thing that happened last year was there was real outpouring of altruism, if you like. People really helped each other in their local community. Did you see that around you?
Yeah, because Peak, they were doing a lot of stuff around and delivering food parcels to families and stuff, and just doing nice things. I heard about that stuff. I appreciated that stuff because, helping's great.
Did you guys get involved in that at all?
We got some of the food packages, but we didn't help like deliver them because obviously we weren't like staff.
How much of a help was that?
I think that was a great help, especially when the first lockdown we had a scare because me and my mum had like a really bad cold. So we had thought we had COVID and then obviously we isolated for 2 weeks. So that actually really helped. So it did during that time.
You know, your mum's got four kids and suddenly you're not in school. I mean, one of the obvious things is you're suddenly feeding a lot of people a lot of the time. Did she find that tough?
I don't think she found it tough because unless she was very good at hiding it, but she was doing very well at it.
How do you think Boris Johnson's done and how do you think Nicola Sturgeon's done?
I think Nicola Sturgeon, she's done the best she can. She done quite well during the first lockdown. Boris Johnson, I think he's too proud to stand down. He refuses to stand down when our country clearly needs it because he can't run it during this, obviously. That sounds controversial, sorry.
So you've not been that impressed by him?
No.
Just tell me what it has meant for you that the coronavirus crisis has happened at this point of your life.
Well, it was quite shocking because this year I was meant to become a volunteer when I turned 14, but obviously I had a lockdown birthday.
What volunteering did you want to do?
I wanted to volunteer with Peak, which is a charity that helps families in the area, and they do like they do different clubs and stuff for kids, and they're an overall good charity. I had been waiting 8 years to volunteer with Peak, but then as soon as I am of age, COVID is just like, ha, no.
It's brilliant that that's what you're most frustrated about. Inspiring. Becca, thank you so much.
No problem.
Hi, I'm Rory, I'm 18, from Belfast, and I study physics at Durham.
Did you miss friends' 18th birthdays, school prom, stuff like that?
Thankfully, we had our school formal in November, so I didn't miss that. And, well, I had my 18th birthday party, I think it was on the 14th of March. I was able to have my party, but immediately after, I think the week we went into school, I think it was a Wednesday, we closed a bit earlier than England. And we were in the rec room, the sixth form room, and we found out at lunch that by the end of the day, it was going to be our last day of sixth form. So it was, that kind of sums up, I think, the whole period. It felt quite stilted and sudden.
You got one final blowout in then, just before it all began.
One final blowout, yeah. It was good crack, yeah.
Okay, so after that, you ended up going to Durham University and you got COVID, didn't you? What was that like?
Thankfully, I didn't have the cough. I just had the loss of taste and smell. And then for like a month and a half after, I was just quite tired. It would be that I'd do like a lecture on my laptop and then have to go for almost a nap because, you know, it was quite straining.
And you must have been isolated a lot then.
Yeah, we had 3 days, then about 2 weeks, then 10 days. Thankfully, we tested positive, so we didn't have to stay in for the 14. I think those 10 days were one of the hardest.
Were you able to make friends in this period?
With my hallway, yes. But other than that, it was quite limited because of just the circumstances.
Mm. Did you get lonely?
I could say yes. I think for me, I have Asperger's, so I guess I'm a bit more of a solitary person. And I think I kind of realised that, you know, I'm going to be in a different place. Especially most of those other hallmates knew people before they came, you know, from the school or even just from talking to them a bit more. So I think I realised that at some points I would be. And I think that's something that, especially during isolation, you know, the one times you'd really see people was going out. You'd hear the meals being put down, the door closing when the catering staff had left, and then just like a scramble out the door of everyone getting their meals. And then you'd exchange a few words, laughs or jokes, and then you go back, and then, you know, that would be it until the next meal time, if you know what I mean.
It must be pretty tough not to be homesick in that setting.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I had to come home in November for some tests I was doing for admissions because I was reapplying for a different course. So I had to come back home, and it's the fact that when I walked out of Belfast International Airport and you just hear the Northern Irish accents, it was quite a It was quite a relief. It was, I think, I'm very happy that I was able to do that. I know that a lot of people didn't, but I'm very happy I was able to come over just for... I'd made sure that I was over for a few days just to make sure that, you know, I wasn't just doing a test and then being whisked away and feeling even more homesick. But yeah.
And so what has it meant for people your age more broadly who had their A-levels cancelled and then went to university in this atmosphere? What does it mean that COVID has happened at this time of your life?
Almost, and I'm pretty sure this is true with most friend groups, is that inevitably in every conversation it turns into just us going, you know, oh, are you group, you know, or it's just been absolutely, I'm trying to think of a word to say that's polite. It's just been just bollocks. Like, it's just been, yeah, we just feel that our year's just been just not thrown under the bus, just not even by, I know that some people blame the government, some people blame, you know, scientists, and then, you know, you've got your yobos blaming, you know, Bill Gates and everything for it. At least for me, I tried to find the positives of it, you know, if there are any.
Do you think it's had an impact on people your age's mental health? Has it had an impact on yours?
Oh yeah, it's had an impact on mine, definitely. I suffered from mental health stuff quite a bit before uni, so I was a bit, I'd kind of, well, I'm on, you know, medication and stuff like that. I think a survey came up for Northern Irish young people that I think the most depressed or mental health deficient group in the UK seems to be young men in Northern Ireland. So going into it, I was kind of thinking, that might be a bit, it might be a bit of a sticky one there. You know, if I got into anything, it kind of made sense. But
how have you got through those low points?
A lot of Netflix, a lot of reading, and just kind of the end of term for Christmas, I think a lot of people used as their coping mechanism. The fact we were able to come home for Christmas seemed like a Christmas miracle.
You know, you've obviously thought a lot about what this pandemic means for your generation. I mean, when you think about the next few years, do you think you're going into a very different world, graduating into a very different world than the one you were applying into?
Yeah, so I think it's the worst recession since the Great Depression. We've Brexit as well, which isn't really helping that. I think definitely, yeah, in terms of prospects at least, we don't feel as secure. And I think that's quite, from a lot of students feeling about that from 2008 and going into, you know, employment, trying to get into employment where there just wasn't any. I think, yeah, a lot of people are worrying.
Coming up, we talk to clinical psychologist Dr. Polly Waite about the impact the pandemic is having on our kids. Polly, you've been working with the psychology department at the University of Oxford on how families are coping during the pandemic. What have you found out?
So at Oxford, we've been carrying out the CoSpace survey, which is actually still ongoing. So we're tracking the mental health of children and young people aged from 4 to 16 over the course of the pandemic. We've had over 12,000 parents take part so far by completing monthly online surveys. It's important to stress it's not a representative sample. So because of the way we recruited people to the study, it is biased towards families with higher annual incomes and those from white British backgrounds. So we don't know the degree to which it reflects the experiences of families within the, you know, the whole UK population. But nevertheless, we've been able to look at these patterns. And based on parent report data in that first lockdown, so when children were being homeschooled for the very first time from March to June last year, we found an increase in behavioural difficulties, you know, children not doing what parents are asking them to do or having temper tantrums. And we also saw an increase in children being sort of restless and having attentional difficulties, so being fidgety, difficulty concentrating. And we saw those things especially in primary school age children, so children who were aged between 4 and 10. Whereas in secondary school age children, these difficulties weren't, you know, quite so noticeable. And in fact, in terms of things like emotional difficulties, so when we're talking about being worried, unhappy or afraid, actually with our teenagers, we found a slight decrease at that beginning of lockdown. And then we've been tracking it since then. And actually what we've seen is after lockdown eased, so sort of from July onwards, we saw improvements across all these areas.
Does that give you hope about the potential long-term impact of this crisis on kids?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think what we've learnt is that it's really variable. So we have seen these sort of general patterns, but within, you know, within the groups, there are different things going on. But certainly, you know, to some extent, children are incredibly resilient. But obviously, that's not going to be the case for all groups. So, you know, with some families, clearly things have been, you know, really difficult. So another noticeable and actually really concerning pattern that we've seen in our study is that children with special educational needs or neurodevelopmental disorders, so, for example, having an autistic spectrum disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and children from lower income households, they've had elevated levels of behavioural difficulties, emotional difficulties and restless inattention throughout the pandemic. So actually they've just stayed high all the way through. So, you know, just to kind of give you an example, when we looked at children from low income backgrounds in that first month of lockdown, the number of children experiencing significant problems was around 2.5 times greater than it was for children from higher income backgrounds. So, you know, while there might be some trends where we do see some children bouncing back, you know, that doesn't necessarily appear to be the case for all children. And what will be really important to look at is once we're through the pandemic is, you know, which groups of children have things just improved by the fact that they're now back in school and able to do normal things again, and which of the children are still really struggling, so that we can then work out exactly what we need to do to support them going forward.
Do we know why children from low-income families are having that experience that's quite different from others?
I think it reflects the inequalities we were seeing pre-pandemic. So, you know, we know that those children, you know, are potentially having less access to things like, you know, internet connections. There was a recent survey by NHS Digital and they found 12% of the children weren't able to access a reliable internet connection. So, you know, it's going to be stressful if you are at home being homeschooled and, you know, perhaps your parents not able to support you in the same way, you're not able to access through technology, you know, education in the way that other children are. So I think there's a whole range of vulnerabilities, you know, and some of those will relate to sort of the economic circumstances of families, that, you know, if you are having trouble, you know, just with the basics of being able to, you know, access food, access technology and all the other things, then it's understandable that that has an impact on how, you know, able you are to be able to deal with everything going on at the moment.
And you specialise in anxiety disorders in adolescents.
Yeah.
Just wondering what we know about the impact on children who already suffered with anxiety.
Yeah, so we don't know specifically about that in our survey, but we do know that there's some really robust evidence around the prevalence of mental health difficulties during the pandemic. So, you know, we know that overall it looks like, from a survey that was carried out in 2017 and then repeated last year, it looks like the proportion of young people with mental health difficulties generally, so not just anxiety, but across the board, it does seem to have increased. And certainly 40% of the young people in the survey were saying that they felt the pandemic had made things worse. Having said that, you know, there were other young people that said that things had improved while they were not in school and in lockdown. So again, it's just hugely variable.
Why would things have improved? What, because people are spending more time with their families or?
Yeah, I think so. And for some people, school is such a stressful environment. And so having some respite from, you know, an environment where they do feel like there was lots of pressure on them. For teenagers in with anxiety, one of the main kinds of anxiety problems we see is social anxiety disorder. And for some of those young people, you know, they were reporting that things had improved a bit during that first lockdown. But of course, you know, then there's a point at which they do have to go back to school and back into some of those sort of anxiety provoking situations. So there might be a temporary respite. And again, you know, children with things like obsessive compulsive disorder, some of, you know, those young people have had, appear to have had more of a tough time recently. And there's been some evidence of eating disorders increasing. So it's, you know, it's a really mixed picture.
What should people do if they have a child who's suffering at the moment?
I think that, you know, it's, firstly, it's about thinking that this is completely normal. So, you know, children are going to be struggling in terms of dealing with the uncertainty, and that's understandable. So, I mean, I think there are things that parents can do generally to try to help children deal with these difficulties. So, you know, where possible, trying to increase children's sense of control and certainty, that can be really helpful. So just things like having a predictable routine each day. And then for children who are prone to worrying, I would be a bit careful about the kind of conversations you might have in earshot of your child, because you don't want them to feel like everything is out of control. So, you know, children do look to the adults around them for clues on how they should be responding. So I think if you're talking a lot as a parent about feeling worried and stressed, then children will pick up on that. So it's really trying to get the right balance. You don't want to pretend everything's fine, because clearly it's not. But at the same time, you know, it's about seeing this as an opportunity to help children recognise that a certain amount of anxiety and stress is normal. So really, the crucial thing as a parent is for them to see you, you know, dealing with a bit of worry and a bit of stress, but also that you can cope with it. So as a parent, really modelling being stressed and then coping is really helpful. So, you know, letting your children see you do things like writing a to-do list for your work job so that you feel less overwhelmed, or, you know, getting some support from a friend, or, you know, doing something relaxing, that can be really helpful. And then I think, you know, if you're talking to your children about COVID, just really trying to reinforce it's understandable to feel worried and anxious. And sort of rather than saying, don't worry, it'll all be fine, you know, it's really important that your child feels that any worries that they've got, you know, that you take them seriously. And I think as a parent, then you really want to be encouraging your children to do things like connect with peers where they can. And that might be largely online at the moment, but also getting them outside, getting them playing outside as much as possible is going to be really helpful. But I think if they are experiencing difficulties, or you as a parent, in fact, are experiencing difficulties where you think this is having an impact, you know, on me functioning, on my child functioning, and them, you know, being able to kind of talk to their friends, or if it is having an impact on their schoolwork or other things, then I think the best thing to do is to speak to someone. So that might be your GP, or it might be someone at school, to think about, you know, what professional support could be put in place in order to help your child, or potentially you.
Dr. Polly Waite, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward for everybody to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
And hopefully it will be gone.
I have family abroad and I'm really excited to see them.
We can play with our friends next door to our house.
I already have one planned sleepover with my friend whose house is haunted, so we're excited about that. Basically, she has this kitchen goblin called Jeremiah. He doesn't like me.
Having the ability to see other people and speak to them physically.
Because my birthday has just passed, I'm probably looking forward to being able to have a birthday party.
I'm most looking forward to just going out with friends again and going to clubs. You know, I was 18 for a week before COVID happened.
Well, I'm most looking forward to going to school, seeing my friends.
Hopefully see my new baby cousin, my baby cousins, because I've not been able to see them.
A movie night with, like, my nan and granddad, maybe, because I haven't seen them for a long time. Yeah, thanks for your time, and hopefully in this year we can all beat it.
My thanks to Dr. Polly Waite, who is an associate professor at the University of Oxford, and to all the brilliant children and young people who spoke to us for this episode. Arian, Becca, Rory, Joseph, Michaela, Isabel, Tallulah, Cecile, Sanjana, and Matilda. Special thanks to their families and to St. Kentigern's Primary School in Fallowfield. And a little thanks to my son, Ethan, for letting us include a clip of him at the top. Also, thank you to our colleagues, Amelia Hill, Libby Brooks, and the Guardian's community team for their help with this episode. Amelia is leading a fantastic project for The Guardian called The COVID Generation. Do look it up at theguardian.com. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin and Toby Thomas. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.